Falcons off today. They're back to work tomorrow. It is a practice where you had to claim tickets if you wanted to go. Most of those have been claimed from what we understand, so it's going to be busy tomorrow at Falcons training camp. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we will hear from Drake London, who our morning shift got a chance to visit with and discuss all the things, Mike, yesterday. As a matter of fact, Drake, happy birthday. It was his birthday yesterday. And it's cool, man, to see, like, the development of some of these players. Like, when we see them come in and then they grow and then you right. see how you talked about the maturity. We were talking about this yesterday at Hooters and the maturity of some of these guys. That's cool to see. But what comes with that is you want to see success, right? You want to see these guys succeed and certainly get to their goals, which is the playoffs. And Michael Penix yesterday, the funniest thing for me is Mike asked him about, you know, getting to the playoffs what is it? Is that a goal? And Michael Penix was like, yeah, man, we got to win. Like
I said, is it a goal? Or just, you know, it is what it is, because some guys don't want to take that. But I said this earlier when we were talking with Brian McFadden last hour. Just, I like it. I mean, he's 25. You know, he's been around. He's experienced some things in his college career. And, you know, pros I know are different, Carl. But I like the fact that he's putting some stuff out there. And I think the team will feed off this energy, and good for him. You know, there's ways of doing it, you know, and there's ways of saying it. And I think he's not walking around like, grabbing his junk and going, he's not doing it that way. He's just in the context of the group dynamic that he believes in this team, and he's trying to pump up his teammates.
I'm with it. Look, I love it. I love having a quarterback who's not afraid to say that. And guess what? If he doesn't live up to it, so what? He wasn't afraid to say it, which tells us more than likely, guys, he's not afraid at the moment. And I don't think he is. 404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. As Mike mentioned, Atlanta United taking on Seattle. That's Saturday. Pregame 6:30. Kicks at 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we'll have more Falcons camp takeaways along the way. Yeah, man, no man's coming up. But right now, let's get to 4th and 1. So, what's going on in and around camps? Well, first, let's start with a weird situation with the Raiders, Mike, who released Christian Wilkins, designation of termination vested veteran. That's the term that they used that was in the contract language. The Raiders claim that his failure to maintain his physical condition to play is the reason they let him go and voided his contract. But we're talking about voiding, Mike, $35 million of guaranteed money left on his contract. Mm. Basically, guys, and we're seeing this, the Cowboys just took $500,000 away from Trayvon Diggs. He worked out and rehabbed in Florida, but he didn't work out and rehab with the Cowboys' doctors and trainers.
Right.
Wilkins is very similar, where he had a chance to check in with the Raiders and say, hey, here's my progress, here's what's going on. Apparently he didn't do that, just in short term of what's going on here. And so the Raiders are like, we're voiding your contract. Now Mike Vrabel's come out and said, well, we'll probably have a conversation. Look, they just signed him. Last year, they just signed him, and now they're voiding his deal. This is an interesting deal. And by the way, he has a grievance with the Players Association.
Right, and as you said, Players Association is going to jump on this with 2 feet. But, you know, but this goes back to, you know, we've heard it before. You brought us some great examples. Same thing in NBA. You know, say, hey, man, I think the team's doctors don't know what they're doing. I think the specialists they're using are maybe not in my best interest. Teams tell me to have the surgery. I want to get a second opinion. But in this case, the Raiders are going, look, there was a timeline. You were supposed to do this. Christian Wilkins, this guy, remember, we wanted to draft a couple years ago. Dolphins got him.
That's right.
And now he's on to his next team. So this will get icky between the Players Association. We always, you know, lobby for the players, but, you know, we're only hearing the Raiders side of it right now.
Meanwhile, James Cook, Mike, did report to Bills training camp. Don't you think that? I thought they were going to pay him this offseason. They took care of everybody else for the most part. Josh got his big extension, certainly deserved. But James Cook talking about his contract extension, saying, quote, I deserve what I want, I need it, and it's going to eventually happen. Again, another star running back who plays a big role in that Bills offense, not getting his contract extension.
Yeah, and this is one where you and I've said, you know, for a guy, and we had the big debate at the end of the season about who was the MVP, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, and people said, well, Lamar's got more stuff. Man, Cam Newton could have made that argument. Lamar Jackson's got more stuff around him than Josh Allen. But, you know, Josh does have a guy in James Cook who they didn't utilize, I don't think, way enough in their last game of the season last year, because, you know, there was an injury, but he said, I was ready to go. But he stirs the drink. He catches balls out of the backfield. He makes a tough yardage. He's a lot, you know, he's not the poor man. He's very much similar to his brother Dalvin Cook, right?
He is.
So pay that man his money. He deserves it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised they didn't do it, as we said. As far as the Bears, we talked about, you know, their head coach Ben Johnson taking the offense off the field on the first day because they were struggling. Botch snapped, fumble, couldn't get out of the huddle. So they asked the new OC, Mike, about this and you know, with the Bears' struggles. And he said, yeah, we're off to a choppy start at training camp, but we're not concerned. Okay, maybe this is the adjustment of learning a new system. You know, I don't know. But what were they doing at OTAs and all this stuff at minicamp? You know, you got a quarterback who is in Caleb Williams, 23 years old. You got Roma Dunze. You got all these guys that you feel like he's got so many weapons around him. DJ Moore.
Right.
But either way, that's the reports out of Chicago. And it's not necessarily bad, but they're just talking about, hey, yeah, we've had some struggles here the first few days. We're trying to get on the right track.
I mean, how does Caleb Williams handle getting basically thrown out of practice? I mean, this is the great debate why teams do all the stuff they do in the combine and the pre-draft interviews. Is this guy mentally tough? How does he handle it? Because, you know, I think a lot of folks look at it and say, you know, you never should have even had him with that Eberflus in the first place. He kind of wasted a year of this guy's development. But now if he's not responding, I mean, I wonder how the rest of the team, maybe there's some guys in that team that go, yeah, man, just kick this guy's butt. He needs it.
He might need it. Shedeur Sanders saying, Mike, it's not in my control, the limited reps I'm getting with the Browns. Does that concern you about him maybe getting a shot to even get a playing time?
Dude. Playing time this year. I saw an article 2 days ago that said the Browns are going to tank to go get Arch Manning.
Oh, come on.
And so Arch Manning is going to play 1 year. And then this is one of these ridiculous clickbait articles that you see. It wasn't Pro Football Talk Day, but it was similar. And you saw it, too. It's like the Browns and the Mannings in cahoots. Are you out of your freaking mind? First things first, let's try to win some games this year with a pretty good defense and a lot of weapons on offense. But this is the great debate. How does he, barring injury, get the reps? He's got to be like, you know, what, Barry Bonds. He's going to have one chance to hit a home run. He's got to do it every time.
He said, I don't think it's my place to answer the question about, hey, how are your reps coming? Do you need more reps? He says, it's not left up to me. I feel like that's not in my control, so I'm not going to think about it or have that in my thought process. He says, there are a lot of people who want to have the opportunity to be at this level, and I'm here. I'm thankful to have that opportunity, but you know, it is what it is right now. And that's Shedeur. He's not pressing the issue. He's just simply saying, like, you want me to say I should be getting more reps? That's not left up to me. And he's not lying, Mike. I mean, look, he's got to play this cool.
Right.
And for him to make a bigger deal out of this, I think, guys, this is all going to play out. And by week 5 or 6, you're going to see Shedeur Sanders. That's my guess. That's what I believe is going to happen. And I don't care what happens in the preseason with Dylan Gabriel or – who's the other kid? Kenny Pickett.
Like, I mean, again, two gloves? Buster. Yeah, but this is why we had that great conversation. I mean, everybody else was talking about it. Why would you draft Dylan Gabriel and then draft? I mean, just go pick him up there. Look, we're not debating what this guy's going to be. This was, you know, as we said, I thought it was overplayed because a lot of folks felt, you know, turn this into a federal case and everything else. Meanwhile, the one guy was going, thank you very much, Mr. Sanders, is Cam Ward. Nobody's talking about Cam Ward. I was watching NFL Network this morning. They had a couple of guys feeling they could be a surprise team in the AFC South. That the Titans have a lot of weapons, which, you know, we don't talk much about them, but this guy might hit the ground running, much like what you've got with our quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. This is a guy who's always, you know, played with a lot of poise and has had to bounce around and has, you know, kind of got a little kind of veteran juice a little bit as a rookie.
Look, the division, everybody just thought a few years ago, once, you know, C.J. Stroud took over, it was going to be the Texans division for a long time. Like, Peyton Manning owned that division for like 12 years. And then Jacksonville, Mike, who is yet to fix themselves, you keep saying, all right, well, when are they going to win that division? And the thing about the Titans is, yeah, because it's winnable. The Colts right now are trying to figure out their quarterback situation.
Right. We just talked about how Caleb Williams is going. How do you think guys feel about that quarterback? How do you think Anthony Richardson, guys look at him in that locker room after the soap opera last year? You know, I mean, you had to bench him for Joe Flacco because this guy basically quit on you.
Yeah.
I mean, you call me a quitter. That's real quitting, Carl. You know, I'm just going to quit on the Braves if you missed the conversation last hour. But that's going to be very interesting. Hey, speaking of a Jacksonville you just brought up, head coach Liam Cohen, his first year as head coach,
all right,
trying to maximize, you know, Travis Hunter. And we talked all about how do you make it work. I think It's not rocket science. He will have to learn the playbooks, and they are pro playbooks, different than college game. And he basically said the same thing. Hunter tells Michael DeRocco of ESPN, I need to be able to process everything fast, basically on both sides. When I'm on defense, if the offense changes their strength, I've got to know what I'm doing. So basically saying it's a ton of film study. It's a lot of practice reps. Mm. So not as easy as, I don't know, you or me saying for a guy to play both sides of the football in the NFL.
Yeah.
Duval.
This has been...
Say it with your chest, dude.
He's got to work on that. This has been the debate. It's not that he can't. It's the prep that goes into it. And I've been saying it all offseason. In college, you can get away with it. High school, you can get away with it. You are trying to game plan for these offenses, Mike, as a DB, and know where guys are going and what they're trying to do. I think it's going to be extremely hard. But look, I hope he does it because we haven't seen it. I want to see it. I'd love to see it happen in the NFL in this day and age. Hey, man, 4th and 1 is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. While we were talking about the Giants with BMAC, if you missed that interview, go online at Odyssey.com. All the interviews are there. Subscribe to Dukes and Bell, and you won't miss anything. The Giants and Brian Daboll, Mike, he announced that Russell Wilson is QB1 for 2025.
Mr. Unlimited.
He said the guys are going to come out here and compete, but Russ is our starter. So he just wanted to settle that down. Now, remember, they did draft a quarterback, and your boy Jameis is still there. But they also have Tommy DeVito on the roster.
Oh!
Tommy DeVito!
Oh!
Yeah, Mike, Jackson Dart, when's he going to start? When's he going to start?
And again, he did throw a pick on his first play, an 11-on-11, and it was a pick six. So, I mean, it does happen. But no, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers doing the same thing in Pittsburgh. I figure what? All right, let's go week seven.
Okay.
Because they're going to roll the dice with Russ, right? Give Russ every opportunity.
Are they winning or losing by that? Does it matter?
The defense. See, that's the thing. Daboll did such an amazing job in Buffalo as the OC. He actually got one great year out of Daniel Jones, and then the wheels fell off. And now you've got, if you look on the defensive side, you know, you got all those pieces they've drafted. You know, you got Thibodeau, you got Brian Burns. They got a lot of dudes.
They got dudes
on the defense. You know, they don't really have a run game per se. And we'll see how what they drafted. But yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be terrible, but they are. I don't know what Russ. This last go around, Russ may have six teams on his football card at the end of his career.
Yeah, I know, and it feels like he's not done. Like even if this doesn't work out, he still wants to continue to play, and somebody will ultimately give him a shot. Hey, man, talking all things NFL with you coming up. We're going to hear from Drake London. The morning shift got a chance to visit with our star wide receiver, and you'll hear all the things that he had to say. And Michael Penix, the comments about the Falcons should be the best in the league. He's not talking about the team. He's talking about the offense. Right. We're going to dive back into those comments. Also, yeah, man, no man on the way. But Drake London is next. Coming up, yeah, man, no man on this Friday. Also, Mike and I just were talking about guy talk. Fun stuff coming up. Stay tuned because we're going to be at Lake Lanier. As a matter of fact, why don't we give you tickets right now?
Yeah, join the party, man, a week from Friday.
And we've got a family four-pack.
Week from today, I should say.
Yeah, Lake Lanier Islands Water Park. And you say, well, Dukes and Mel, why are you guys, what's going on up there?
Why are we going up there?
It's a good question. It's the final Friday of 2025 where no football will be played.
Aha.
So we're celebrating. Yes, football is truly back. And we're going to be up there hanging out doing our show from 2 to 6. Tickets are provided by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands Water Park. Tickets on sale at MargaritavilleResorts.com. All right.
Dana just said first five single moms drinks on him.
Okay. caller number 8 is going to win these tickets. Just for hanging out, listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. So thank you guys. And caller 8, 404-726-0929. But we're doing that next Friday. But we got something in Guy Talk we got to talk about, and we will, coming up a little bit later on. Hey, right now, let's hear from Drake London. Our guys from the morning shift had a chance to visit Ali as well. And talking to Drake London about a variety of things. But they wanted to know, what did Drake London notice different about camp?
Really nothing. I don't really see anything that's different. Just excited to play some football and finally be back out here with the guys. Yeah.
Drake, last year you really showed the world. They look at me, the NFL world, and I have people come up, they're listeners, and they'll tweet us and everything. They'll be like, man, Drake's going to have a breakout season this year. And I said, hell, he had 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. How do you break out over that? But to that point, how do you go in the offseason after having a year like that and say, oh, wait, I got to find holes in my game and work on and get better, and then to eclipse that big season that you had last year?
Exactly that. Just work on the little nuances that I see in the film room and on the field with myself that I could get better at is the biggest thing. And then to just go out there and prove the doubters wrong at the end of the day. It's kind of a trend right now that I keep on going underrated and just flying under the radar, and I'm okay with that. I'm not really a big public guy anyway, so it's totally fine with me. But, you know, I have to go out there and prove every year, and that's my goal every year here. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, it is day one of training camp, so back to work, and clearly you guys are working hard. But what did you do in your off season? Did you get into anything fun?
No, I'm not a big traveler. My traveling is going back to Cali, where that's home base. So go back, see family, and hang out. That's pretty much it.
Falcons wide receiver Drake London hanging out with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Look, we're going to get into a little more football. We'll have a little more fun in just a second. Year four for you. Fourth time in 4 years you've had a different starting quarterback in week one. How do you find the continuity? Because it's really incredible. We've seen the ups and downs, and hey, bad situation at quarterback, different offense coordinator, different head coach. You've been pretty consistent over your career. What do you give credit to for that?
I don't know who to give credit to, but just see ball, get ball. I don't really care how it's thrown. As long as it's in my vicinity, then I'm going to go get it, you know? So that's my whole mentality. And
understanding of the playbook, things like that. I mean, it just comes naturally.
I mean, yeah, there's days that I have to go in and really study with the coaches and get with the quarterbacks and figure out those little things that I have to do to make the playbook just that much better and more understandable for me. But other than that, I see ball, go get ball.
What do you think those conversations have been like so far with Michael Penix trying to get comfortable with him?
They've been great, you know. And really, he's the same way. He just wants to throw the pigskin, and I just want to catch it. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
Well, to that point with the different guys, what's the adjustment like for that? Because you guys switched midseason. So you adjust on the fly. Because everybody throws it. You know, these guys are different. Kirk goes a different ball than Penix does. And how's the adjustment? Because Penix, he's got a freaking laser. That thing comes out quick.
Yeah. I mean, there's sometimes it caught me off guard. But other than that, it's just catching a football at the end of the day, and I try to keep it as simple as that because that's what it is. I don't try to overcomplicate things.
You guys did an off-season, during the OTAs and stuff, you did an off-season video that was on the .com for the Falcons, and they were with you, and you had just found out they picked up your fifth-year option, and your reaction was so pure, so cool about just what it meant to you about, you know, that it was almost like, hey, we notice what you're doing, how valuable you are to our team.
Yeah. Again, how I said earlier, I kind of fly under the radar on a lot of people's whatever you might say it is. So for them to notice it is a huge thing, especially the facility that or the organization that drafted me and believed in me from the get-go. So it means a lot to have them do that for me and want to keep me here.
Well, I'm going to ask another fun question. Who are you rooming with out here at training camp?
Yeah. I got Mooney, Ray Ray, and Cadell Hodge.
All right. I know it's only been one day, but who's the messiest out of them?
Who's the messiest? Now we're all clean. We're all good.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we run a strict regimen in that dorm right there.
let's say on that topic, Drake London hanging out with us here on the morning shift. Talk to me about the locker room a little bit, and that's a big thing. When I was here playing, it was, you know, who's on the aux corps. I think, you know, we had William Moore some days. Sante Samuel stepped in, the senior, not the junior that, you know, everybody's familiar with now. Who's on the aux these days, man? What kind of music are y'all listening to in the locker room? What are the vibes like? Is it muted in the morning, or is somebody waking y'all up, getting things bumping in the early days?
It depends on who puts some music on, but it's usually JB, Jesse Bates, who usually puts some stuff on. It's really the defensive guys who kind of run the music. Yeah, pretty much. So now they put on some smooth stuff. You know, we have some Drake in there, Lil Baby, little stuff like that. So, yeah.
You any concerts or anything this off season? I know you said you didn't do much, but there's been a lot of acts, obviously in California and Atlanta too.
Yeah, no, I don't really go to concerts or anything like that. I
stay low key, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. I wanted to ask, this is a goofy camp question. We did it last year. Last year, you were phenomenal with the guardian cap answer. But what's Drake London's spirit animal?
Spirit animal?
Yeah, you know, what animal do you relate to in the animal kingdom?
Oh, for sure, a lion. I mean, what is it?
Astrology.
Sorry, I say astronomy. Astrology. I'm a Leo, so I guess a lion. Yeah.
There he is, Drake London. Mike and I were discussing. He just said, "I don't go to concerts." And I'm like, "Wow."
Just like, what music is Jesse Bates rolling? I said, "Please don't say Drake." And he said, "Drake."
He did.
You and I were just joking off mic, but hey, man, leadership and Jesse sets the tone.
Yeah, I
in the tunes.
I think that Drake is just a no nonsense kind of guy. We've said this. He's got a serious side to him. That we've seen even at practice when, you know, guys are challenging him, and I'm all for it, man. But the thing for me about him is his life is going to be, I think, a lot easier with Michael Penix and the way that he delivers the ball. Mike, he's had to make some spectacular catches here over the last few years to just get the yards that he's gotten. And I think his life, just from not having to go up and get 50-50 balls and be challenged right. for every catch, that's about to change. And so I feel like, you know, even the balls that Kirk delivered last year, early in the season, obviously it was all good. But once things started to go downhill, he struggled to get the ball to Drake too. So I just think for Drake London, like, this is going to be his best season that we've seen. Mm-hmm. Because his job to have to go, like, the ball's being thrown to me. If I don't go make this play and the ball's, you know, 3 feet over my head, if I don't go up and get it, I'm not going to have a chance. He's got to be put in position to get easier balls and catches. And then that's going to make his life a lot easier.
And that's the thing, guys. I mean, yeah, 22, Mariota. Jeez Louise. 23, Desmond Ridder. And again, 866 on 72 the first year, 69 for 905. Only 6 touchdowns those first 2 years. And we used to sit there, and it was the same goes for Pitts. That's why when guys say we're too hard on Pitts, you know, some of Pitts' lack of production after the first year of the rookie year where he was a Pro Bowler was these guys couldn't get them a ball if he had a stepladder. You know, I mean, it was just brutal. There's so many games. Again, bad memories. But last year, 1,271 with 9 touchdowns on 100 receptions and one of the top 10 receivers in the league, hands down.
Those are the numbers, Mike. And he knows this. Look. Balls, meaning receptions, and touchdowns are what get receivers paid. That's you know, you if you lead the league in receptions, Mike, you get 120, 135 receptions, they're going to be talking about you. You get touchdowns, they're going to be talking about you.
Here's something that's kind of interesting. 154 in the overtime win against Tampa Bay, and then you don't see another 100-yard game until the last two games when he's got Michael Penix Jr., to
yeah,
your
because
point.
Things went downhill.
106 yards and 187 yards in the game that we should have won. We scored 38 freaking points and lost to Carolina because our defense was literally like a cartoon.
Let me ask you this, too. We're talking about Drake London. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Falcons off today. They're back at work tomorrow. Training camp continues. And we'll have all the live coverage for you, by the way, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg are going to be at Flowery Branch 9-1 tomorrow. Sunday, it's Mike Johnson and Dylan Matthews up there from 9-1. So we got you covered even over the course of the weekend, and then we're back up there on Tuesday and Thursday. With the way that those numbers went downhill, Mike, we never heard Drake London complain. The season starts off good. Right. Then it's almost as if he's absent. We know he's playing, but he's not getting the rock. And he says nothing. He doesn't hint towards it. He doesn't make any comments, Mike. And my point is, this is why we know he's not a diva. Because last year, he could have easily been like, man, I don't know what's going on. He didn't say a word. And right. That, to me, speaks volumes about the kind of player he is. Because even when he had bad quarterbacks and he knew, and he admitted to us, like, dude, I'm a rookie. I'm just playing my position. I don't know. I can't really say that much about guys that are trying to keep me on track. But he knew what the deal was. Last year, he had a veteran and gets basically off to a great start, and then the numbers disappear, and he didn't do what we've seen most wide receivers do in this league, Mike, and that's complain.
And that's one thing that we've talked about a million times, the makeup of the squad. Even with Arthur Smith, and I know a lot, other than Cordarrelle Patterson, all Cordarrelle said was, hey, man, just get me involved in the offense. But it wasn't like it was any of these kind of crazy wide receiver diva stuff. And he had earned enough sweat equity where everyone respected his
takes.
Right. We haven't had that kind of personality on the squad. You know, say what you want about, now granted, I know you say is there a direct correlation with having the big egomaniac and winning 10 games? I don't know.
That's right.
But we got some dudes to keep their head down and get the job done. One thing we asked Michael Penix Jr. yesterday about this season is, how is the preseason workload going to work? And he wasn't really sure because, you know, he couldn't really tell us what, you know, he thinks it's going to be. Dear Orlando Ledbetter has an article he posted today from the AJC about Raheem Morris and how he plans to handle starters. Coach says he, quote, do anything that we can do to mitigate as many injuries as we can. So does that mean I'm not going to see Penix Jr. out there more than one series? Or the other dudes on this off? See, I do think you have to. I get it. I don't need Joe Burrow out there for 3, you know, games in the preseason with his injury history. But I would like to think a young team with a quarterback with only 3 pro games as a starter under his belt, you'd like to have the first team out there for at least 2 or 3 series.
Yeah.
To get some kind of continuity. Doesn't that matter?
It does. I think it does. Mike, look, I'm curious to see how this plays. To me, I had a guy ask me this yesterday because he heard us talking about this when we were at Hooters. And he said, I heard you guys talking about it. And he said, Dukes, you said what's the appropriate amount? Look, I don't think you can overwork anybody in the preseason.
Right.
Okay? I just don't. Like, if you're telling me that there are meaningless reps for a guy that's going to start and you're putting him out there, here's the danger. with the second or third teams, Mike, right, and you feel like, okay, the protection might break down, and here's a guy on the other side of the ball who maybe wants to make a name for himself, and all of a sudden he takes your quarterback out, that is a danger that most right. teams and coaches are not willing to risk. But if you're asking me, like, what's the appropriate number, and I said this yesterday, I don't know what that is, but I also don't think you're overworking anybody. Because nobody's playing an entire game in the preseason.
Right.
So if I told you it's two series or three, and he comes back after half and plays one more series, if that's appropriate, so be it. So that's why I use that phrase. But, guys, I don't know if you're like, oh, we're going to overwork Penix. You're not overworking him.
But basically, guys, if you want to see Penix in the preseason, I'm not telling you not to go down to Mercedes-Benz, but it will be very similar. This is from D-Led's article. Okay. Thanks, Mike and Carl. Raheem Morris says, of the 2025 exhibition playing plan as last year. So basically, you make those decisions based on how much work you get. We got to go through training camp, so he's kind of equivocating a little bit, but it just sounds like, you know, basically you have to be really able to apply those things. More coach speak. Take along those metrics on how much you can get.
Yeah.
How much all right, he's not giving me anything.
Not telling you.
All right.
He's not telling you.
I would think you'd like to have more than one series with your – they may get this when they have the joint practice with the Titans. Maybe that's going to be something we don't see. Maybe something comes from that.
That's true. They do good work with that. Hey, man, yeah, man, no man's on the way. Also coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, more on the Falcons and what Michael Penix said. He had a lot to say to us. We talked to him yesterday as well. We'll let you hear more of that coming up. And is Georgia a swing game? What does that mean? What are we talking about? 4 o'clock hour, we'll tell you. It's Dukes and Bell. You know, after ACC Media Days this week, Cade Klubnik, Dabo Swinney, I think, Mike, this could be a special season for them if Klubnik puts up the numbers. We've talked about it. We'll get more into this and what came out of ACC and Big Ten Media Days now that those are over. And Ryan Day, too, you know, he was talking about NIL and all this stuff, and everybody is just kind of waiting to see where this stuff goes. Didn't you tell me President signed something?
Yeah, this one is kind of got a lot of folks in college football land going, all right, what exactly are the ramifications of an executive order for President Trump to ban third-party payment to players? And, of course, we already had the House versus NCAA decision, and the framework is now in place where most college football fans figure, well, you got a $20 million cap per team, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. Alabama, their athletic director signs off on this. I got to check unless this is some AI thing, but I was reading this earlier to Carl about apparently they're in league with this. Remember Nick Saban had talked about talking to President Trump and the idea of coming up with some kind of commission. And I mean, do we need congressional oversight in this? I mean, we needed it for 25 years. Never got it. But the president, I mean, we know that some people kind of roll their eyes when they hear executive order, no matter what your political stripe is. But I didn't think we were going to get anything from this other than more legal battles and more fights, potentially. The folks from the plaintiffs in that case basically said that it's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. Again, it doesn't change the land of the law of the land. That's congressional, you know, that's a congressional act, Mike. But bottom line is maybe it pauses or extends the time for them to work out what they need to get worked out. Look, I just feel like the time or the landscape of college football has changed so much. We did need it 15, 20 years ago. But now with everything changing, you absolutely need some more guardrails, and that's right. What they're asking for.
By the way, I did find it because at first I was like, is this real? It is real. From AL.com, the Alabama website. Greg Byrne, the AD for Bama, says, quote, "The University of Alabama applauds this executive order from President Trump to help ensure a long-term sustainable model of intercollegiate athletics." So they're apparently on board with it.
Okay, awesome. Look, I'm all for whatever's going to make the sport better. Like I said, for me, I don't know about you, once we get to the games, that's all I'm about. Because the games don't change. Right. All this other stuff, it's interesting, and you know, coaches are talking about their different challenges, but I got to tell you guys, like August 23rd, when the first weekend starts, and it's teams that I normally don't watch, I'll be watching because the season will have started. And then on the 30th, Mike, when Texas takes on Ohio State,
right.
I'm all in.
Right.
I don't care. The games are what matters.
Well, again, everybody's sick and tired of the legalese. We'll talk more about this at 4 because I'm reading more on what this executive order actually does and what it may or not be able to do. But, I mean, the last thing we need, and a lot of folks felt that even though the NCAA House thing got reached, it still meant more trips to a courtroom for somebody.
All right, man. It's time to get to Yeah Man, No Man.
All right, guys, it's Friday. Let's have some fun,
Happy
right?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, let's get it on like Donkey Kong.
Drink some pizza and wine at the house tonight.
Right, nice.
Yeah. All right, so speaking of the house, last night, so playing around, well, not playing around, our four-year-old saw a water bug. Water bug got in the house.
Yeah.
So I go down, I kill it, you know, pick it up with a paper towel. He's like, let me see. Show it to him. And I'm like, want me to show it to mommy? He's like, no, don't do that. Just throw it away. He's like, no, let me show it to mommy. No, daddy, just throw it away. Don't do it. All right. So I'm eating a brownie. I take a piece of the brownie and I put it in a paper towel and I go, I think I'm going to show it to mommy. He's like, no, daddy, don't do it.
Oh, goodness.
So he stays downstairs. I go upstairs. I proceed upstairs and I go in the room and I go, Carter wanted me to show you the water bug. And she's like, no, why? And I was like, I don't know. He just told me. I told him I'd come show it to you. And she's like, no. And she's laying in the bed, nowhere to go. I'm like, no, I got it. No. Next thing you know, neighbors probably think she's screaming to the top of her lungs.
She's trapped.
He freaks out downstairs because he hears her screaming. Now he's downstairs crying. And I'm just dying laughing. So I say all that.
Cause of unnecessary household drama.
I say all that to say, yeah, man, no, man. You enjoy playing a good prank on your wife.
I do. It's been a while. The one they played on me a while back, it's been a couple of years, but her and my daughter both played a prank on me where she had my daughter call. Mm. And basically, because at the time, she was learning how to drive. And so she kept saying, can I drive one of your cars? Can I drive one of your cars? And I was like, no, you're just learning. So my wife, Michelle, literally said, I think I'm going to let Trent drive one of the cars tomorrow, one of your cars. And I was like, no. So Trin calls and is dead serious. She's got me in her and she's like, Dad, I got into an accident.
Oh.
And I'm on the other end like, what?
what?
Whose car? Like,
not are you okay?
Yeah. No. I can care less. Like, whose
right.
car?
Right.
And she's like, Mom said it was all right and we were driving and they played it up.
Oh,
and
man.
There was nothing I could do until I got home. So I'm fuming all the way till I get home. I get home, they're both standing there laughing their butts off. Because they just knew. So it goes both ways, Day-Day. Yeah, it goes both ways.
My wife is gullible in the sense that, you know, she's very detail-oriented and sometimes doesn't see the forest for the trees, Carl. And so we're down in Noonan when we first moved down to the south side. And we walked the square. We do it every month. There's so many great bars and restaurants down there. But there's this great old movie theater, which has an Italian restaurant attached to it, great pizza, and they have live music. It's basically one of the 20-something spots in Noonan. It's called the Alamo. And so as we're walking over there, I said, well, we can go get a slice of pizza at the Alamo. And so she goes, okay. So we sit at the bar and we're meeting some friends. So she's on the phone. And so the bartenders are all listening. She goes, no, we're off the square. We're at the Alamo. It's awesome. And everybody just, and I point, everybody starts breaking up. She's like, what? I go, it's the freaking Alamo. You knucklehead.
She didn't know.
So that's the kind of silly stuff that I do.
It's fun.
Oh, nice. All right. Moving on to the sports world. On this week's episode of Pardon My Take, Scotty Scheffler admitted it was him.
What do you mean?
We played it. Somebody.
So, yeah, man, no, man. This is all the more reason to make him your favorite golfer.
He's such a likable guy. You know, one of the few guys who's obviously had the mugshot going on to win Masters. Oh. Here it is.
Green the Scheffler.
I mean, it literally sounds like a whoopee cushion. And we played it for you in Guy Talk last week, and we were crying laughing about it. on Friday. But yeah, so Scotty, he who smelt it, dealt it, Carl.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm just glad he owned it. I just, right. So he was like, yeah, it was me. He didn't even come out.
No reservation. Like, yeah. I farted, and yeah. I won the tournament, too, so what?
I did that. That was me, man.
He is the most real guy, right? One of the most real guys in sports right now.
Yeah, yeah, man.
That's funny. No, look, you know I love him. I just, it's that is the best a soundbite I've heard in a long time, because rarely does anybody want to claim it, to Mike's point. It's like, who did he, right? You've been around in a group, yeah. And everybody's like, who did that? Nobody wants to say anything. It's like, well, me. I didn't do it.
By the way, sidebar, since we've got three dads now in the room, I'm the only guy who never, no kids. People like me shouldn't have kids. Did your dad ever hotbox you on a car trip?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's the worst.
It is the worst.
And it was wintertime.
Oh, there's no escape.
It's the worst.
Yeah, heat's the blowing worst. That right back at you.
It's the worst. You're right about that.
Yeah.
And then my dad, I don't know about in your case, but my dad said absolutely nothing about it.
Oh, right? No. He would deny it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I don't smell anything.
I don't know. He loved to torture my mom. That was on road trips. Oh, Jan, why did you do that?
Brutal.
Unlock the door.
That brings back a bad memory. Yeah,
right. All right, last one. So just days after becoming the oldest player in 20 years to win the WTA singles match, or a WTA singles match, right. Venus Williams at 45, lost at the City Open yesterday, losing to Magdalena Frecz of Poland. Williams' last big win was 2017 at the Australian Open. She's got a career record of 818 wins to 278 losses. Yeah, man, no, man. We may be seeing the final days of her playing tennis professionally.
How long was she not playing? It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, yeah.
I mean, because, you know, having kids and you know, obviously.
But
you know,
that's Serena.
Serena.
Venus, yeah. Yeah, but Venus. And
yeah, Venus. Now, I think that's it. I mean, if that's so. Where it's at. I thought, you know, when I first read the story, I was like, okay. Because I didn't know she was even playing competitive tennis.
Right.
It's a young person's sport.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be mean-spirited.
No, it's truthful.
Venus is 45.
Mm-hmm.
It's a young person's sport. This is why when we see Coco Gauff, right?
Right.
And you're like, how old is she? 19, 20, 21. Right. You see these people coming up, especially, and it's such an individual sport. There's no team to rely on. And your body, that's a lot, man. It just is. And you do that for 15 or 20 years, it's going to have wear and tear on you. So, yeah, I think she's done. This is what we're going to get. Like, she'll play when she feels like it, and she can, because she can still do it. But it's like when Michael Jordan, like, when he retired, and he was like, you know, I know I can still do it. I may not be able to do it at the level in which I used to be able to do it.
Right.
But I just feel like, yeah, man, tennis is – that's one of those things, like, you can only do it for so long, and then it's not like you can't serve anymore, but getting around the court – and getting the balls like you used to be able to, can't.
Even Roger Federer said it. You know, he talked about, you know, and this guy was in tremendous shape his entire life.
Right.
But you're right, man. It is certainly a young man's game. You're right about that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things they said in the article, that on yesterday her legs just really looked like they just didn't have what
they
had.
Because she can do all the overhand, all the swinging is not the issue. It's getting the balls and then the fatigue of your legs.
The torque on the knees, right. Could you second serve any good?
No.
I used to, and back in the day,
no.
Played tennis. Back, it was fun. You know, I mean, again, I like tennis. I just hate, I don't like people that play tennis. But it is fun because it's, you know, it's great exercise. As long as you can do it, man.
Yeah. In high school, we actually had one of the, before I got to varsity, one of the older varsity coaches, sometimes he'd make his basketball players go out and just play tennis against each other just for the movement.
Quickness.
Make them quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big quickness explosion, those bursts that we talk about, right? The quick twitch.
Yep.
Yeah. It's real.
All right, guys. That's a Yeah Man, No Man for a Friday. Happy weekend, ATL.
Good stuff.
Ben,
good stuff.
My old roommate, when I lived in the real world, Sandy Springs, Ben from New Zealand was a tennis pro.
Yeah.
And, man, he would, you know, be a pro at the clubhouse, you know, different tennis clubs around the Southeast. What a life. Knew all the dudes, had played a little bit on tour as a young man.
Yeah.
Man.
Well you get...
No, Mrs. Newsbaum. Correct. Let me show you here. Let me put my hand around your waist and show you how to hit that ball. What a gig.
You get a lot of that. I just recently got offered to, because I guess she figured I didn't know pickleball. Yeah. And she goes, do you want lessons? And I was like, do I need lessons for pickleball?
Hold on. You know Tim Allen, Home Improvement. Real men don't need instruction.
I mean, for pickleball, do I need? Yeah. I was like, do I need lessons? And then I was like, I don't think I need lessons, but it's such a big, but I'm wondering.
Are you playing now?
Pickleball?
Yeah.
You need some instruction, Carl. It's
easy.
There are some weird rules to it.
Well, that's
like
true.
What? Like what?
you can't. There's a part of the court called the kitchen, and you can't hit the ball. You can't step in there and hit a ball unless the ball is like hit in there.
In there, yeah, that's true.
So you, and then how it's scored is differently too.
It okay. is scored differently.
So it's got to drop in there before you can hit it?
Yeah. Yeah, then you serve in
sets. So you just can't sit there and just wail on somebody.
Correct.
Okay, I get it. Okay.
And you serve in sets of what, three?
Yes.
So, yeah, you serve in sets of three, then the other side serves in sets of three.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. There are some couple of nuances, but as far as, and when I say it's easy because somebody's going to take offense to that, I play every day. It's great exercise. No, it is. It's easier than tennis. Yeah. That's what I would tell you.
You're not covering as much space.
Yes, correct.
But you got to play with a partner. You never right. Correct. Playing pickleball by yourself is not going to really happen.
No. But the idea, like, if you playing singles in tennis, you're doing some running around. But, yeah, man, I was right. like, point is, Mike, do they have instructors for that now like they used to with tennis? Because was a big deal. Right. Being a tennis instructor, to your point, was a big – and it was a big moneymaker.
The hell of a gig, man.
Somebody's out there listening right now. They're making money.
That's right up there with being a personal trainer. You're going to score so Uh-oh. Much stuff.
Here
what I'm just saying.
Go.
I'm just saying. The one ad I got a kick out of the Super Bowl, I think it was the Super Bowl ad initially, was that Mick Ultra – with Willem Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara.
That's right.
Where they could play for Mick Ultra. Because anything. Willem Dafoe looks creepy in everything. He does.
Fascinating.
I always love that because, you know, the joke, I forget who said it, but he is in the actor's studio. I know we got a break, but it was in an interview when he did the actor's studio. And he said, one of his first movie reviews, they said, Willem Dafoe has a face like he's the boy next door if you live next door to a cemetery.
Hey, coming up. They are saying it's going to be his first real test. We're talking about Gunnar Stockton. Find out what game that is next.